Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. Steve McKee is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Steve is a columnist for BusinessWeek.com. He's the president and co-founder of McKee Wallwork Cleveland Advertising. He's the author of When Growth Stalls, and he's a guy who helps companies like yours and mine put our best foot forward in the marketplace. Steve McKee, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
It's good to have you back.
Great to be here.
Steve, one of the things that I've been saying for about 10 years now or so, maybe more, is that every single thing that you and I and anybody else out there sells, and how we deliver it, is a commodity. That there's virtually nothing in the marketplace these days that other people, that our customers and prospects can't get six ways from Sunday on Main Street and 1,000 ways from Sunday on the Internet. And the only way that we're going to really be successful is to find a way to differentiate ourselves beyond what we sell. What do you think?
Well, I agree with that. And, of course, that's the importance of branding, because that is the one thing that, properly invested in, you can own and continue to increase the value of. But every company is either innovating or being commoditized more and more every day. There's no standing still.
And that branding thing, I want to make sure we help people out, because some people, when they think of branding, they think of the Nike swoosh. But when I think of branding for a small business, it's not the brand, it's the ding, the branding. And the ding is what goes off in their mind about their experience with you. Isn't that what's really the big deal? Not what they bought from you, but the experience they had with you as they were acquiring it.
That's true. I define, and it's funny because I expound on this in the book, the experience that we tend to think of, if you could go to the extreme, advertising as about your company or product, when really it's an extension of it, and it's all part of a continuous experience. Mm-hmm. And that's where I agree, the branding, if you think about every interaction anybody has with you, from an ad on their easy chair to an actual purchase in your store if you're a retailer, all of that is part of that continuum.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things you've been talking about lately is innovation versus commoditization. Now, help us understand that.
Well, I'm indebted to a gentleman by the name of Doug Hall from Eureka Ranch for this word picture. But if you could picture a timeline, and at one end of the timeline is commoditization, pure commoditization.
Mm-hmm.
And at the other end is
meaning whatever you have, when you say commoditization, you mean whatever you have, there's nothing unique about it.
Yeah, it's wheat, beans, or rice.
It's available wherever anybody turns around for the same price.
And it's a complete price game, yeah.
Yeah.
The other end of the spectrum, if you can imagine, is monopoly, where you dictate the terms in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, both extremes are problematic for different reasons. But as a business, if you think of yourself as somewhere along that line, you are being moved every day by your competitors towards commoditization.
Exactly.
That's the natural.
It's sort of like rust, right? I mean, if you leave a piece of steel out in the weather, it's going to move toward rusting, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If it's not maintained, and what you're saying is the maintenance of your stuff is the innovation.
The maintenance is innovation, and we get. In small business, we get really intimidated because we think that innovation is what the big guys with the huge R&D
companies
do.
Right.
But that's just not true. Every company can innovate.
Especially today. In fact, there's never been a time, in my opinion, Steve, when small businesses can actually lead innovation.
Well, they absolutely can. Especially, I heard your teaser coming up for the social media discussion. In social media, there are dozens and dozens of ways undiscovered yet that we can innovate. And I would encourage your listeners to think about that.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about how we can fight the tendency to default to commoditization but continue to forge ahead with innovation.
I have a really simple exercise that your listeners can do today if they want. Get in a room, take 5 minutes, get with your team or by yourself, and think about pain points in your industry, the customer pain points in your industry, and every industry has them, whether it's too long of a wait or, you know, poor product quality or
shipping, freight costs, whatever it might be.
Whatever the pain points are, whether they are fair and legitimate, they just hurt, or whether there are mistakes that are being made. And then think about ways that those pain points can be either fixed or alleviated, and boom, you're going to develop ideas for innovation. Some might be, you know, beyond your reach and unaffordable, but some you might be able to implement today,
right?
Really simply.
And so when you said that, you said think of your pain points, but aren't the really more important pain points your customers' pain points?
Oh, that's what I mean, yeah. The pain points that your customers experience doing business either with you or your competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And there are always pain points in every industry.
And folks, if you remember the last hour, pardon me, Steve, but in the last hour something came up, and I said this to my audience. I want you to comment on it. I said, folks, there's only one thing that is the original thought, that is the egg, not the chicken, in your success in the future, and that is, what do your customers want? Finding out what your customers want. That is the original thought in the marketplace. What do you think?
I agree with that, and sometimes they may not know what they want. And that's why some reflection on these. I mean, we take certain things for granted. We take for granted, for example, that you have to wait 30 minutes for a pizza. Just for example.
Right.
Because at one point in time, that was an innovation. That wow, I could get a pizza in 30 minutes. Well, what if you could get a pizza in 5 minutes?
Right.
I don't know. Is that possible?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and the thing is, though, is for me, if I actually found a customer who did not know what their pain was, I would actually be happy about that, because I think I can find what their pain is, and if they don't know it, then I'm the guy who's going to reveal it to them.
Yeah, and you can totally, that's a great way to find the pain points, is just to have conversations with your customers and ask that three-letter child's question over and over and over, which is why.
Yeah.
Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why? And you'll, you'll eventually find out that people have developed very sophisticated workarounds to the pain points that we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of funny. I'll give you another example. We work with...
pardon me, Steve. I want you to hold that just for a second. Folks, what Steve's talking about is innovation. He didn't create a new product. He didn't make a new patent. He didn't register anything with the U.S. Patent Office. But he's still innovating. He's talking about innovation. You're talking about innovation writ small, aren't you, Steve?
I'm talking about innovation writ small. And if I could give you a great small example, yesterday I received a text from a local restaurant that I go to.
Yeah.
Offering free cupcakes today, Valentine's Day cupcakes.
Would you send me that text? I'd like to take advantage of that. Hold on to that thought, Steve. We're going to take a quick break. Steve McKee and I are going to continue this conversation about innovation versus commoditization after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out and using it to your advantage. We built it just for you. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. And if you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes on any topic under the small business sun, we got something you can read or listen to, ask questions. My blog is there. We update that on a regular basis. My newsletter is there. You can subscribe to that. We'll send you that every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. Don't forget to check out that out. Check that out. It's all free at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Steve McKee is our guest, and he is the author of When Growth Stalls. Steve, tell us how we can find you online and find your book.
You can just go to whengrowthstalls.com. The book's there. The blog is there. My contact information is there, and there's a lot of good information for everybody there.
So check it out, folks, and whengrowthstalls.com. The book's available wherever books are sold.
Books are sold, yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about innovation, folks, and I really am. Thank you for helping us to think about this as innovation writ small, because and it's not that you and I want to play small ball, but I do think it's important that we don't allow ourselves to get intimidated by that word.
That's
and
right.
The only way to not be intimidated is to start out with baby steps.
Baby steps, and they can be huge steps for you. Let me give you an industry where innovation is being screamed for, and it's a recent experience I had. And this is small business. I recently had my roof re-roofed. Now, every community has, you know, dozens of roofing companies, right?
Right.
And the industry is a mess.
Right.
And there is such pain points, if you will, from the commoditization of roofers because it's all a price game and shouldn't be.
Yeah.
To trying to get somebody out when you got a leaky roof.
Yeah.
To, do I have a guarantee of any kind?
Or just the guy showing up.
Just the guy showing up.
I hate to say it, but roofers, guys, I'm sorry, but roofers do not have good reputations.
They don't, which means there's tons of room for innovation in that industry, and an enterprising young roofing company could really rock the world if they think about it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, just and the first innovation they could do would just be to be reliable.
Be reliable. Be, you know, offer some sort of guarantee. Maybe offer some sort of a club where I could get preferential timing of my visits if it rains and my new roof leaks. You
right.
know, that sort of thing. All kinds of different innovation built around pain points. That's my point. Thinking about the pain points in the industry.
What about this? How about talk about Rich Small? And I've been talking about this today a couple of times. If you survived 2009, you did something that was you had to have done something that was kind of unique.
You had to
identify what that is and celebrate that, leverage that. What do you think, Steve?
I think that's a great idea. And also look at the companies in your field that didn't survive and ask the reason why, and that will give you some real insight, I think, into
what thing
you're doing you need to do more of.
Is this something that we need to help our employees, our staff, learn how to do better?
They're the source of it. They're often the source of it.
How do we do that? How do we get them? How do we give them that kind of authority?
Well, I think it's making it a priority in the organization. And I would, if I was a small business owner working on this, I'd start with having a bringing in pizza for a couple hours one afternoon and paying everybody for being there and saying we're going to talk about pain points, and especially the people that are the closest to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about an experience today that you had where your customer was unhappy about something. What can we learn from that?
What about this? What if you ask your people, what is it that we do that makes it, that's our policy? We've established this, we've developed this, we've built this policy, and we're imposing this on our customer because it's the way we want to do business. It makes it easier for us, but it kind of isn't something the customers like.
I question every assumption.
Everything like that. I mean, that isn't the worst thing you can say to a customer, that's our policy?
Yeah, and that's why banks were closed on weekends forever.
Yeah.
It makes no sense, you know? Now they're open for half a day,
right?
But it helps.
That's
an innovation.
That's exactly right. And these are all tiny innovations. And isn't this one little bitty step at a time? Isn't this how our economy is going to get turned around?
Well, we know the small business is the source of growth. It's the source of new jobs. And if you think about it from a microeconomic sense, if you make a small innovation that helps your company grow, and you add a job or two, and you multiply that by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of small businesses out there,
right,
all of a sudden we don't need the guys in Washington to do anything.
Well, that's exactly right, and I'm really glad you said that. All right, so talk to us a little bit more about how we can be innovative.
Well, there are a number of ideas, and I actually have an innovation model in the book, When Growth Stalls, built around what I call the five sums. If you think in terms of something, someone, somewhere, sometime, or somehow, those are all different categories of innovation that you can really develop a lot of ideas in a short brainstorming session very quickly using, and it's a fascinating exercise.
And this is the, again, with the pizza thing, right? Get your folks together and...
Get your folks together, yeah. You could do it that way. You can do it any way you want, but they're a great source of innovation. You set aside 90 minutes in a pizza party once a month for your crew, and all of a sudden you have an innovation program in place. It's not quite the same as Pfizer's, spending $50 billion.
Right.
But it's
What if you went and talked to customers face to face about this too?
Well, absolutely.
Isn't that a great way to do it? Find a customer. Find those customers that you're pretty sure you can't run off, and ask them to help you innovate.
Yeah, and say what are the things that frustrate you?
Yeah.
About our business.
You might find that it might just be delivering on Wednesday instead of Thursday.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, thanks for being here. Good job today.
You bet. Thank you.
Steve McKee, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called When Growth Stalls. That's also the website, so check that out when you get a chance. Quick break, 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.